Welcome to Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Health Integration Specialist Lena Berman, and I come to you weekly to discuss self-care and integrated health. Well, today I'm doing something slightly unusual. I'm going to do a two-hour show today for our mini fun drive. And honestly, at this point, I'm not sure who I'm interviewing first, since we tried to raise our a guest that we thought was our first guest, and we're having trouble raising her, so we're calling our second guest now. But basically, what's going to happen today is that there are 2 hours. One of them will be with John Goffman, who is a famous professor emeritus at UC Berkeley in cell biology, and is a long researcher on the effects of radiation on human health. And he has a new study out. He's famous for a very long study that he did many years ago. I mean, he's redone another study now about the effects of medical radiation on the human body, and it's quite damning, I'm afraid. So we're going to talk with him for an hour, and it will also have copies both of his full study, which is a 600-plus page scientific research book, the full research project. We'll have that available as a thank you gift, and we'll also have a small booklet, which is a smaller gift, available as a thank you gift. Sounds like we have John Goffman, do we? Okay, so let's start with John Goffman, and then we'll try to get Sally Fallon in the second hour. Basically, the way I was going to frame the show is just to say, have you ever asked your physician about the dose of ionizing radiation that's delivered by a procedure that he or she has asked you to have? Answers range from surprise and ignorance to answers like, only about the amount you get from traveling on an airplane.
Yep.
Today we learn that this is not an adequate answer, so join me in this first hour of the special two-hour Your Health and Fitness as I interview Dr. John Goffman about his latest research uncovering uncovering the potential for damaging effects from medical radiation, including how you as a medical consumer can affect a positive change in only about how, not only how, you have to excuse me, I'm a little flabbergasted here because I didn't know which guest I was going to end up with, how patients are educated, but also actually we're going to find out how we as patients can even affect a change in the dosage of these radiation levels. Now, John, I can hear that you're there with me in the background. Bear with me for 1 second because I want to give you a proper introduction. I also want to let people know that if you call in during this hour and pledge your support to KPFA and its ongoing struggle to remain on the airways and on the Internet during this fund drive, what we will do particularly during this hour is gift you either the gigantic book, Radiation, the full title of which is Radiation from Medical Procedures in the Pathogenesis of Cancer and Ischemic Heart Disease. Bad news, folks. Ischemic heart disease is in here, too. The book is over 600 pages. That's going to go to people who can afford to pledge $130 per year. But for those of you who wish to pledge at our normal rate, which is $60 per year, we have a booklet, which is sort of all of the abstracts. It's sort of an abstract version. It's called the executive summary. And that's available at $60. And in addition, in the second hour, we're going to be doing Nourishing Traditions with Sally Fallon. And so if you want to package things up, you can get her book and the radiation, the small pamphlet for $115. So I'll explain more as we go along. Let me introduce you, John, and thank you again for taking time to do this show. Welcome you also, John.
All right.
John Goffman, this is a intro that I chose the intro from the article by Peter Montague because I think it's the most comprehensive. This was from an article published in Rachel's Environment and Health Weekly in April. John Goffman is a medical doctor with a PhD degree in nuclear and physical chemistry. He's a professor emeritus of molecular and cell biology at University of California, Berkeley, and a member of the faculty at University of California Medical School in San Francisco. Now, during his long career, he's pursued two separate fields of research, heart disease and the health effects of low-level radiation. He's won several awards for original research into the causes of atherosclerosis, which is the growth of fatty plaque inside the blood vessels, often causing fatal heart attacks. In 1974, the American College of Cardiology selected him as one of the 25 leading researchers in cardiology of the past quarter century. In the early 60s, the United States Atomic Energy Commission asked Goffman to develop a biochemical research division in the Livermore National Laboratory to evaluate the health effects of all types of nuclear activities. In 1970, he became convinced that radiation was more dangerous than previously believed, and he spoke out against Project Plowshare, the AEC's plan to explode hundreds of nuclear weapons to release gas trapped in rock beneath the Rocky Mountains, and to evacuate new harbors and canals by exploding nuclear bombs above ground. He also called for a 5-year moratorium on the AEC's plan to develop 1,000 commercial nuclear power plants. By 1974, his government funding was cut. Not surprisingly, they didn't like him doing this. He then began a series of books on the dangers of radiation. The first was called Radiation and Human Health in 1981. X-rays, Health Effects of Common Exams, 1985. Radiation-induced cancer from very low-dose exposure and independent analysis in 90. The book that we interviewed you about several years ago, Preventing Breast Cancer, the story of a major proven preventable cause of this disease in 95. And now, Radiation from Medical Procedures and the Pathogenesis of Cancer and Ischemic Heart Disease, which was published in 1999 and is available, as I said, as a thank you gift for those of you who call in at 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732 during this hour. That the big book for 130, the executive summary for 60. John, welcome to you, and thank you for making yourself available at the drop of a hat here.
Well, thank you, Lane. It's my pleasure.
You know, I think that it's obvious from your intro what prompted you to go from being someone who was completely entrenched in the nuclear, field.
Nuclear establishment.
Yes, in the establishment. Thank you, in the establishment. What, you know, it sounds from the intro, it sounds pretty clear what finally tripped you off. I mean, you were sort of going along working on this stuff, and then suddenly you had this epiphany where you realized how dangerous it was. What was it that happened that really woke you up?
I took the job seriously. when Glenn Seaborg, then chairman of the Atomic Energy Commission and the commission itself, suggested that they would like to have an additional lab, a biomedical lab in the Livermore laboratory, I finally agreed I would cut my teaching back for a while and form this biomedical division. And I said to the commissioners, including Glenn Seaborg, I really don't care about the Atomic Energy Commission's programs, but I'm devoting my life's work to the health of people in America and the world. And I started along those lines on the heart disease and atherosclerosis, that's what you had already mentioned. But in finally signing the documents, I had told the commissioners I didn't care about the Atomic Energy Commission's programs, but I was very much concerned about the health effects of fallout and radiation in general. And I said, if you think I'm going to just rubber stamp some of the things the Atomic Energy Commission says when they shouldn't be saying so, forget it. Get somebody else. And in memorable words, Professor Glenn Seaborg said, Jack, all we want is the truth. And what I found out in the first 6 or 7 years at informing and leading the biomedical division for its first few years is that the Atomic Energy Commission, the last thing they wanted was the truth about radiation, because the entire atomic program was based on the idea, for heaven's sakes, don't discover anything bad about radiation. It'll hurt the program. And in fact, at one of the meetings of biomedical directors around the country, there were about 20 of them, we used to meet every 3 months. And at one of the meetings, I said something about the number of deaths from radiation, and one of the other directors called me aside at the intermission in the program. Said, I think you made a big mistake, Jack. And I said, what's that? He said, you mentioned the word death in there. Mm-hmm. He says, the Atomic Energy Commission hates to hear the word death.
They don't mind causing it to happen. They just mind hearing it.
Yeah. It would even produce a coronary collapse in the Atomic Energy Commission if they had to hear the term death too often.
Well, except that it's a smaller population that would be suffering from heart disease in that situation, so I don't feel terribly sorry for them. The thing that's so interesting...
I don't have an agenda. My agenda is the health of people.
It's clear from your history that that's so. I mean, it's very obvious reading your background that there was a development, that there was a route that you took, and that you saw things as you went along and went, oh, wait a minute, you know. So it's very clear that you're... It's also clear because of the long period of time that you've been working.
But it didn't all go beautifully because of one thing. With the Atomic Energy Commission, dedicated to having radiation not be too harmful, the studies were always suspect if they were supported by Atomic Energy Commission funds.
Well, and that gets me to an interesting question, because when you set out to do this new study, and I'll mention again that the new piece of information that's terribly frightening here is not only that radiation causes cancer, mm-hmm. in human beings, but it also can increase the risk of heart disease.
Yeah, so makes everything we're doing twice as important.
Yes, exactly. So when you set out to do the study, what you just referred to is the problem in finding reliable, unmanipulated data.
Exactly.
So why don't you explain how you did this, because it's very clever what you did.
Well, we've worked as best we could from 1970 to 1995, 96, when I talked with you on your program about the preventing of breast cancer. I was never happy about the data available to us. Well, we made real progress in the period from 1970 on, but it wasn't enough to satisfy me for a very real reason. All the studies that were done had only a limited part of the population. And when I presented the material on preventing breast cancer, I showed how I would extend that to the whole population. But I didn't have data. I just showed how I would use what existing data there were to show this. That was not satisfying. But in 1981, in doing the radiation in human health, I had indicated that there was a relationship between the number of physicians in an area per unit population and the deaths from cancer. It's in the book. It's written there. And in 1996, Egan O'Connor, who does all the editing work on what I write, and colleague and I were discussing this. We said, you know, maybe we ought to look at those data about the relationship with between the number of physicians per 100,000 people and the radiation dose. And then, if you could find a relationship between those two, you could then study those in connection with cancer. So we said, well, where can you get the radiation dose using this information? And it just suddenly clicked, and we said, heavens, we have a source of this, because you don't ever order an X-ray for yourself, Lena. Anybody listening to our program today doesn't order an X-ray, but doctors do order an X-ray. Therefore, I would presume that if we knew the number of doctors per 100,000 in one region versus the number of doctors per 100,000 in another region, we would say that the place where it has the higher number of doctors per 100,000 is going to get a bigger radiation dose, because the number of X-rays ordered is roughly proportional to the number of doctors per 100,000. And that's been confirmed by other studies. Now, if somebody says, is that a perfect correlation? Nothing is perfect in this world. But let me tell you something. I have never seen in 50 years of biomedical research what awaited us when we looked at the data here. Because here we had a possibility not to have this thing that had always bothered us, namely not having the ability to deal with the entire population. We could now deal with the entire population because of the existence of some data which were never collected for this purpose.
Which is why it's not manipulated.
And that's the only reason it's not manipulated. You're absolutely right. But the idea that we could not only get a lot of data, we can get the data on the entire population of the United States going from 1920, roughly, to 1993, from 134 million people as our substrate, and we had to divide those into groups, so we were looking for differences, from 134 million people to about 250 million people. And the one thing, as you said so succinctly, the data are not manipulated.
No,
nobody can say, well, Goffman, baloney. It doesn't have anything to do with Goffman. The American Medical Association and the U.S. Public Health Service published from 1920 on in books that are sitting there in the medical library over at UCSF, not taken out by anybody, where you have the number of doctors per 100,000 in every state of the Union going from 1920 to 1993, as I said. So we started to say, my gosh, we've got the radiation dose, or something proportional to the radiation dose, which is good enough, a relative measure, for everybody in the country. Does this correlate with the number of cancer deaths? And we had started out that study with radiation-induced breast cancer, but we said, let's look at the data, because we have not only all these wonderful data, unmanipulated, irrefutable, on the dose, we also have the U.S. vital statistics adjusted for age, and you have to adjust anything like this for age so you don't compare people that are older versus those that are younger. We're trying to keep the age adjustment. That's all available in vital statistics in the United States. Well, we started out in our general thesis, which we had already proved and others had proved. Yes, radiation causes cancer. Radiation causes cancer of the breast. No question. No question whatever. The question is, what kind of dose do the people in the country get?
Okay, let me stop you for just a second, because I want to let people know what they're listening to. If you've just tuned in, this is Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Lena Berman, and I'm interviewing Dr. John Goffman, who is both a medical doctor and a professor emeritus at the University of California. He's also a PhD, has been studying the effects of radiation on human health for a very long time, very eminent in his field, and has published a new huge study. It's over 600 pages, called Radiation from Medical Procedures and the Pathogenesis of Cancer and Ischemic Heart Disease. Ischemic heart disease is the piece that we didn't know about until now. And both of this publication is available to you as a thank you gift during our mini fund drive. So if you, I'll give you some points, like at the half hour and at the 45 to call in, but it's 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732 if you want to beat the crowds and call while we're talking. And we'll give you either the executive summary, which is a small publication of abstracts on this study for $60, a normal membership pledge, or if you would like to get the full 600-page book for your library, that's a $130 pledge. So let's continue talking to you about this. Now, going from the fact that it's not just breast cancer, it's all cancers, and then taking that next jump.
Well, we started out, the first thing we looked at was breast cancer, because that was the thing we had just finished in 1996, showing that breast cancer, and I predicted from the data we had in 1996 that something like 75% of all breast cancers in the country for the 20th century are due to medical radiation. But that was when I didn't have these wonderful data. Well, we put the wonderful data we had, namely the radiation dose as measured by the physicians per 100,000. We call that a surrogate measure. And we had the mortality for each year from 1940 first through 1960. Then there was one decade lapse. We had data again from 1980 on. So we had virtually the entire period from 1940 on. But looking at the 1940 data, which was the first place we had actual good vital statistics mortality data. Many people think such data are available for the asking back hundreds of years. Not true. Not true. You had places like Texas didn't come into the Union until 33 with reporting their mortalities. But from 1940 on, we had beautiful data. We analyzed, we just did a study. We divided the country into 9 census divisions. That's how they're usually doing. There's something like a few up to about 19 states or something close to that in each census division. Now, when you're going to try to do a relationship between, say, radiation as measured by the physicians per 100,000 versus mortality, you have to have at least 2 different groups differing in dose, because what everything in epidemiology of disease is based upon studies that we call dose and response.
John, let me ask you something. My impression is that you don't know the dose that they were using. I mean, one of the problems with radiation is, unlike other medical procedures, there's no measurement of the amount used.
That's exactly right, and that's why all these other studies are in difficulty, because you don't have good measurements of the radiation dose, and we have probably the best data in the world on the relative magnitude of radiation dose between 2 groups. We have it for 9 separate groups because we're not depending upon anybody measuring anything. The good data were lying in the books in the library from 1920 on. So while it's relative, we can work with the relative ones, and the analysis is shown in the book, where we come out with an answer that for breast cancer, we could say, not only confirming our earlier study where we didn't have really good data in terms of dose, but we did the best we could. We had said 75% of breast cancers in the 20th century were due to medical radiation. Now, the first thing we had with the new data, using these data on the physicians per 100,000 as our indirect measure of radiation dose, was that something between 90 and 100% of breast cancers were due to medical radiation.
And ironically, of course, mammograms now have been the most responsive in terms of lowering their dose, but women were receiving mammograms way too early, and of course in the old days people were getting radiated to see what their foot looked like at a shoe store. So there's
mammograms were pretty bad in the early days,
and they're still really pushing them even for young people.
Mammograms are not the important story here. A lot of people think mammograms are the important story. They're not. And we're talking about all sources of radiation, as you point out, some of the very early things like observing the feet. But what I want to say is this. Some people listening say, he's saying that medical radiation is the cause of 90 to 100% of breast cancers. And they say, well, I've heard 30% are due to diet and so many percent are due to something else. We don't argue with that at all, but we think that any cancer that occurs, a breast cancer or cancer in other sites, any cancer that occurs is rarely due to just one cause. There are ancillary causes that work with the radiation. We refer to these as co-actors of the radiation.
Mm-hmm.
The issue we're saying is this. When we say that 90% of breast cancers are caused by medical radiation, we're saying that if you didn't have the medical radiation, 90% of the cancers would not occur.
That's right.
That means that if something like diet or a variety of other things, hormonal factors, when the menarche occurred, when a menopause occurred,
mm-hmm.
all these factors put together, they can coact. The issue is, if you took away the radiation, mm-hmm. you would be taking away the cause of the disease.
That is
the most fabulous thing on the horizon.
It's a wonderful piece of news.
And
now,
we can translate that directly. We know.
John?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I need you to hold that thought, because
sure.
we need to take a brief 30-second break, and that's a good
sure.
point to stop at, which is the good news, which is that this is a preventable disease. Now, what I want to go over with as we get back to the interview here with Dr. John Goffman, we're just going to break for 30 seconds. This is your own health and fitness, and I'm health integrationist Lena Berman. We're doing a mini fund drive. We have some thank you gifts available to you if you pledge. I'm going to give you a little time to pledge at this half-hour break. Actually, it'll probably be more like a 60-second maybe to, you know, somewhere around a minute break here. But what we're going to talk about when we come back is the fact that we're not just talking about breast cancer here. We're talking about other cancers. And I want to talk about some of the mechanisms of how this happens and about ambient radiation in comparison to the radiation we get in medical procedures and which medical procedures and all. But I want to talk about the heart disease key here, the fact that this is also causing heart disease. What's going on? Why is that happening? So if you want to pledge during this hour, what you will get is either the full 600-plus pages of the full study, Radiation for Medical Procedures and the Pathogenesis of Cancer and Ischemic Heart Disease. That's a $130 pledge. It's an enormous, the whole thing. If you want to pledge at the $60 level, the usual membership level, and join us during the mini-pledge drive, you can get an executive summary, which is, how many pages is it? I should know this. Huh?
32
pages. Thank you, John. 32-page book for $60. So I'm going to play a little music. I would like you to call in during this little break to avoid getting crushed in the run to get these things during the full break at the 45. 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. I'm going to give you some pledging music. We'll be right back. Folks, I just want to remind you that all our phone lines are open, and when I start pledging at the end of this interview, I think there's going to be a rush for these books. So I urge you to call in now. The numbers are 1-800-439-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. The thank you gifts at this hour are an executive summary of 32 pages of Radiation for Medical Procedures and the Pathogenesis of Cancer and Ischemic Heart Disease, or the full book for $130 at 600-plus pages. It's a remarkable resource for your reference library and will protect you when you need to talk to physicians, which is what we're going to get to, is how to talk to your doctors and your radiologist about why you're concerned about these doses. And it even includes information and pamphlets about how to get tested, how to have the radiation of the procedures that you're pursuing tested. Now, what's important about having this information is that we're dealing constantly with physicians increasingly who are ordering procedures that you don't even know are ionizing radiation, and that's covered in this. For instance, did you know that even the DEXI bone scan, which is, they never say is ionizing, in fact is ionizing radiation, and when you ask how much radiation, they won't tell you the dose. They tell you things like, I stand in the room when it's happening. So this is very important information for you to protect yourself and to make informed decisions about when you should have an x-ray taken and when you should avoid an x-ray. And if you're going to get x-rays, how to squeeze doctors and researchers into lowering the dose on these things. Because it can be done. John talks about this in the books and in the pamphlet about how dosage levels can be lowered remarkably with absolutely fine results, so that if, God forbid, you're hit by a truck and you need radiation x-rays, you know, stuff, or you need fluoroscopy inside you when they're doing surgery on you, this can be done and you haven't been bombarded already in these dose levels. So you need to call us now to avoid, like I said, the rush at the 45 when I'm going to be pitching in earnest. The numbers are 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. I'm going to be going back to my interview with John Goffman shortly, Professor Emeritus of Molecular and Cell Biology from the University of California, the most eminent person in his field, and the one person who has been causing a lot of trouble and really speaking out. But he's very well respected. The information you'll be getting, if you get the $130 book, you won't be sorry. It is an enormous amount of information. It goes in details, and it has all the scientific literature in it. This is a real study that people will sit up and listen to, or the executive summary for $60. So keep those phone lines full. I'll give you a few more seconds to pledge, and then I'll come back to the interview, and I'll be pledging again at the 45. Welcome back. This is Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm health integrationist Lena Berman. I am on the phone with Dr. John Goffman, Professor Emeritus of Molecular and Cell Biology from University of California, Berkeley, is both a PhD and an MD, and has been researching medical radiation for longer than any of us would like to think about, has been involved, and has just completed a new study which is really hair-raising, but also reassuring, as John just pointed out. It means that most cancer is preventable, or at least the incident can be lowered tremendously. So what you're saying, John, here is that this issue of it all being genetic.
That's not so.
It's not so. I know. That's what this means.
In one sense, it is so, because genetic, many people think of it as being hereditary. Genetic is a term that is more appropriately applied to something that affects DNA or chromosomes in this generation. And in this generation, we can now say for breast cancer that when we say 80 to 100% caused by medical radiation, it's because of the effect on our genes and chromosomes. That's what it's due to.
But that's inherited.
We're not talking about something that's transmitted over family generations. We're talking about genetic effects right now, just as tritium in the environment produces effects on the genes and chromosomes, so do medical x-rays, so do Hiroshima and Nagasaki gamma rays. They're all affecting the genetic apparatus. So I want people to know that when we're talking about that, we're not talking about familial things. We're talking about what some familial things can interact, but we're talking about radiation delivered to this generation and affecting this generation.
Right. Yeah, because what he's saying is that genetic damage from radiation is inherited from generation to generation.
That's not correct. You see, a genetic damage can be inherited.
Oh,
but we're talking about genetic damage in this generation.
Okay, so you're saying that whatever damage was done to my mother, I didn't inherit that damage?
No, we're saying
it's being damaged all over again.
Yes.
Ah.
All over again.
Okay. Now,
we're saying this effect on the chromosomes, where we think the trouble is, in the cells. We're saying that for breast cancer, 80 to 100% in the 20th century of breast cancers due to medical x-rays. Then having this, Egan and I said, well, let's look at the other cancers, because we had data on all other kinds of cancer and on a lot of diseases having nothing to do with cancer and heart disease. And one by one, we went to the point where, and these are in both books, the executive summary or in the large book, we did all cancers put together in men, all cancers put together in women. We can say very conservatively that at least 50% of all of these cancers cancer deaths were caused by medical radiation. Then for females, over 50%.
Okay. John, I'm sorry, we're running out of time, and there are a couple of points I really want to make sure we cover. So what you're saying is there are a number of other cancers, not just breast cancer, other cancers.
All cancers.
Okay.
And then looking at the data that's sitting there, we looked at heart disease, which is the other big disease causing mortality. It's just about the same as all cancers put together. And we were astounded by the beautiful relationship we found between the medical x-ray dose, as by our method, and the mortality from coronary heart disease. Many people don't know the term ischemic heart disease. Ischemia refers to lack of blood flow. It's just coronary heart disease. So everything we have found out about this, you double the effects because it's not only cancer, it's also heart disease. And what you're finding, everything is gone. Not so.
Not everything.
We've looked at all other diseases, and we find that they have actually an opposite relationship with the radiation.
Yes. Okay, so which procedures are the ones that people really need to red flag? If a patient...
Two major procedures that are raising hell right now. One of them is the CAT scan, and the other is fluoroscopy. Anytime fluoroscopy is done for whatever reason, diagnostic or to guide a catheter, you're getting in the big dose field.
Okay.
Now, the problem we face for the future, we are at a point now where we can predict with confidence that major cancers and heart disease can be reduced a lot if we just reduce the dose of radiation, as you pointed out before the break, where you don't, you can still get very good pictures, and you can get cutting the dose in half or cutting the dose to a quarter and still get very good pictures. We have this in our book, and we have some more recent references on that. But the medical profession is currently, they've been so much, had so much baloney thrown at them in the course of their medical education that most doctors are happy with everything. You say, we're not seeing people dying of any of these diseases. They just haven't looked at the data. And until the medical profession is awakened, we're going to have these diseases continue. If you want to have a bloodbath of cancer and heart disease for the 21st century, you just pay no attention to our work. If you want to see a real new look where there can be a prominent drop in deaths from heart disease and deaths from cancer, the public is going to have to do the job of what we call trickle up to get doses down. Trickle up to get doses down. The information is not going to flow from the medical profession down to the people. It's going to have to go from the people up. And we're going to devote a large share of our energies and time to a program in which we are asking that when people get an X-ray, they have a right to know the dose. You know, you think of powerful dose doses of medications, they warn you about this. But when you go in for an X-ray, they don't warn you that you're taking one of the prominent mutagens, one of the prominent carcinogens in the form of the X-rays, and you're giving it to people. And they don't even know what dose they're giving. They don't know if you go into facility X, whether they give you 3 or 5 times the dose that's needed. That has to change. We're asking your listeners and everybody within earshot to join us in a statement, a policy statement, of the patient's right to know the measurement of X-ray dose. And if you want to join us in this effort to get a few million people to say, hey, we don't want to die of these diseases unnecessarily, just send us a note and ask for the...
Well, isn't it included in these packages? With
no, it
these?
Isn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And they've got to write to us at P.O. Box 330-544. Box 330-544, San Francisco, 94133-0544. Join us, because there is a way to cut these diseases down.
Well, one thing I should mention is that if they do get the book or the pamphlet, there is information on the back on how to reach your office.
That's
so
fine.
They can also ask for the patient's right to know petition.
That's fine.
When they get, okay, so if you didn't get that number down fast enough, you will get it when you get the executive summary or the booklet.
They can know it. It's P.O. Yeah. Box 330-544 and San Francisco 94133.
Right.
And we want to have all of you join us. This is an issue where if there was ever something that ought to come as an initiative action from people, the trickle-up idea on demanding the right to know your dose. When we get 3 million, 5 million people having signed the petition, the medical profession is going to sit up and take them.
Yeah, I'll say. Now, a couple of very quick questions, because we're going to have to get off in 2 minutes. What this information says is that all this stuff about people changing their lives and their styles and the genetic and this and that with heart disease and cancer makes some difference, but it isn't the primary cause. And I'm wondering whether the information on how radiation affects arterial plaque changes your view of the contribution of genetics in the propensity of clotting factors like small particle LDL.
Well, those are all part of the story. They're part of the story of other things that interact with the radiation. But interestingly enough, we've got a whole section in the large book and alluded to in the small book of how does this work? How does the radiation affect the cells in the artery? And we think we have an explanation in the form of causing small, benign tumors, but they lead to these plaques. And all the things like HDL and LDL, all those things fit beautifully with our idea of what the mechanism is by which mm-hmm. radiation produces these effects.
And it puts somewhat of a kibosh on the free radical damage, although free radical damage is real, and you're not saying that other environmental causes and diet don't have a contributing effect. What you're saying is there's so much damage done by radiation, we're already bombarded by radiation in the environment anyway, and then if you go in and get all these medical procedures, it's just too much.
Yeah, well, the medical procedures are most of the dose that we're getting.
Yep.
And the free radicals that are involved in ionizing radiation, such as medical X-rays, they're a different breed of cat. We're talking mostly about chromosomal damage, and the free radicals that are part of normal metabolism are not the story, and that is a falsehood.
It's much harder. You can't easily recover from radiation damage. You can do things.
You cannot recover from it. Right. You recover from part of it.
Right, but not entirely. All right. You know what, Dr. Goffman, we have to let you go because I want to give people a chance to get your books and pledge.
And let them join us, too.
Oh, I certainly will. Well, as I said, if they get the executive summary of the book, your address is right on the front.
Okay.
And they can write you for the patient's right to know petition.
Absolutely.
I just thank you again, over and over again, for doing this work. I don't know what we'd do without you. You really have to hang in there and keep doing this work because no one else is doing it.
We'll stay with it.
Okay.
Thanks, Lena.
Dr. John Goffman, thank you so much again. Can I have some pledging music? All right. You know what? I don't know if you quite understood what was going on. This is Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Lena Berman, and I now have these copies of these books to give away to you as thank you gifts during this hour, and then I'm going to go into a second hour here and talk about nourishing traditions. But right now, what I want to say to you is, if you call, right now there's plenty of phone lines available, 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732 for a $60 pledge, which is our normal subscription level, I will give you a 32-page executive summary of radiation from medical procedures in the pathogenesis of cancer and ischemic heart disease. Now, these are abstracts. The full study is a book, which is over 600 pages. Now, you might ask yourself why you need such a big book. The reason you need it is because we are trying to inform the consumer. You are the consumer. You are a consumer of medical techniques. And as you age, and as things happen to you in your health, you are increasingly exposed to radiation from X-rays and medical procedures. You need to know what you're being exposed to and how to talk to your medical professionals. Now, I've got several phone lines available. I really urge you to go right now to the phone and call us, and for either a $30 pledge or either a $60 pledge or a $130 pledge, get these for your library, because there is information in here about the mechanisms by which X-ray radiation and other medical procedures, there are procedures listed in here that you don't know about, that you're going in for without realizing that you're being exposed to ionizing radiation. That by itself is enough reason to subscribe right now to KPFA at 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732, and either at $60 or $130, either for the giant book or the executive summary, get a copy of these, because there is information also about heart disease in here. Now, you heard John Goffman say this, and you won't hear him on Oprah or 2020, well, if we're lucky, you might, but saying that 90% of all cancers, particularly breast cancer, can be avoided by reducing the dose of ionizing radiation through medical procedures. Now, in addition to that, what he's discovered is that heart disease, this thing that's getting just out of control with people right now, is primarily also caused by damage to the smooth muscle cells, and they cause a degradation in the, they cause like a little tumor, and it causes arterial plaque to lay in, and then boom, you've got ischemic. You've got these clogged arteries. Your doctor's telling you stop eating butter. Well, in the next hour, we're going to talk about why that isn't the case. But here's another amazing piece of information that nobody expected, which is that it's radiation. The medical radiation is the primary. Now, every time you turn around, your physician is going to say, let's do this or that. The bone scans. Everyone thinks that bone scans are benign. They tell you that these DEXI scans are very low radiation. Well, the point is they are ionizing radiation. dental x-rays. Now, no one's saying never get an x-ray. What we're saying is get informed so you can find out what your dose is. You can impress upon your providers the importance of knowing the dose. You can get the information from these books at either the full book for $130 or the executive summary at 32 pages for $60 at 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. You can tell them why they can, in fact, lower the dose of these x-rays, and that you want them to do that. He also includes information on a test that you can ask to pay for $50, to check the dose of these things if they tell you you don't know. I have lots of phone lines available. I don't know why people aren't just racing to the phones. At the very least, for $60, which is a normal rate for becoming a member of KPFA, and you know we need you to be a member because we're trying so hard to survive. We get to keep all our money now, and we're trying to make a presence stronger on the Internet so that no matter what happens, people all over the country can still hear us. And who else will talk to you about this important issue of radiation from medical procedures and how they cause cancer and heart disease? All these people who are telling you to be this kind of diet or eat that kind of diet or to do this with your body or that with your body and blaming the patient, when all the time there is the presence of something very ominous that nobody really knows enough about. I mean, the doctors don't know the doses of radiation, the radiologists don't know, and we can force them to know, and we can force them to lower the dose, but you need to be informed, and you can only get this information from this executive summary or this book. Again, for $130, you get a 600-plus book, which is an enormous amount of information. It has charts and graphs. You can copy pages of it. You can show it to your medical providers. John Goffman has been in the field of nuclear research since the 50s. He is so respected, you know, by everyone. No one can really argue with this man because he is brilliant, and he's figured out ways to work against how the establishment tries to prevent us from knowing. It's all in the book for $130 or in an abstract form in the executive summary for $60 at 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. And I have several lines open, and I need you to call and join us right now. KPFA, as you know, is continuing to need your support. We're never really through this crisis. And I think that there are many of you that may already be members but may have family members that you're worried about. And you can always buy a gift subscription to people and get a copy of these things, the executive summary. You know, even if you're dealing with a patient who already has cancer and they want to give them radiation to cure the cancer, does this make sense? Well, there was an article in the JAMA, this is a regular medical establishment journal, that said that while radiation reduced the number of tumors in 10% of cases, that it also increased by 21% the number of people who got new cases of cancer, other cancers, as a result from the medical treatment of radiating people for cancer. Wouldn't it be useful to have this information to protect you even either before you have cancer or even after you have cancer so that you can make informed decisions about what you're doing? Or if you do choose to use radiation, can you negotiate the dose? Can you explain to your providers in unequivocal scientific terms how to do this? Yes, you can, by getting radiation from medical procedures in the pathogenesis of cancer and ischemic heart disease. If you want to really impress them, get the full book for $130, 600-plus pages with graphs and charts, explains exactly how the mechanisms of all of this works, explains what the mechanism is in the damage that radiation does, how it works, how it causes heart disease, surprise, surprise. Or you can get the executive summary, which will give you abstracts of the study and will cover very quickly in 32 pages for $60. I have lots of phone lines available, and I'm very surprised because this is a situation where you get to have control of a situation. The good news, John Goffman said, is we've discovered a preventable cause for cancer and heart disease. Wow. Wow. 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-5732. Don't miss an opportunity to have this information on your shelf. I have about 5-6 lines open at 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. Please call us now. Join James Seifer in Sonoma, Louise Foss in San Rafael, Alma Covey, John Sin in Sausalito, Larry White. Please keep calling 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. Don't miss an opportunity to either get the pamphlet or the full book, either $60 for the executive summary or $130 for the full. Judy Keller in Novato, Alan Lindsley, Stephen Pisani, Krista and Mike Perso, Jay Wood, and several other people. I'm getting cards all over the place. Now, we haven't been given a match grant during this hour, so it even heats up the situation even more because it means that we don't have a double thing. So we need you right now to call in and give us enough money to put us over into our goal for this mini fund drive. How important this is for KPFA. We need to beef up the programming that's already breaking all the rules in the media. There is nowhere else on the dial at this point where you hear information that goes against the establishment the same way that KPFA does. Nobody else does it. Unfortunately, public radio is now so beholden to corporate sponsors that it has to kind of be careful about what it says, and we don't. So that's the reason for joining us, and to boot, you're getting information on not only protecting the health of you from cancer and heart disease, but your families and future generations, so that you can be an informed consumer that demands that the doses are lowered in medical radiation. No one is saying never to use it. We're saying lower the dose. You don't have to have a dose this high, and now we have the information to use as a weapon against people who insist that it's fine to leave it the way it is. It's 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732 to get on board, subscribe during this hour, and get a copy of either the book at 130 or the executive summary at 60. Thanks to Glenn Baker. Thanks to Mara and Milton in Richmond. Thanks to Elizabeth Morriskeen, I think. Susan Long, some people do this backwards, some people forwards. Craig Coombs, Claire Feeder, Moisha, you boy, okay. Yerishlaminsky, that's probably not right. Mariah Healy and Dale Nesbitt, please join us right away, and don't miss an opportunity to get the full book, too, because I got to tell you, I have it, and I've looked at it, and it's mind-blower. I mean, there's so much information in there. You can read it slowly. You can go through it and pick parts of it apart. It is absolutely makes your mouth hang open when you read about the mechanisms of how radiation causes mutations in the DNA and how that causes cancer. All this time, we've been blamed for the cancer and the heart disease. You bad people, you're eating wrong. Well, yes, there may be a contributing factor to that. I agree. But 90% of breast cancers are preventable by reducing radiation? Good Lord. With the breast cancer rates where they are in affluent areas like Marin, does this give us some idea of what might be happening? See, we're hearing a round of applause. Okay, 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. Now, as we close this hour, I want to remind you that I'm not done. I'm going to have a little drink of water. You're going to listen to the end of the show, and you're going to keep pledging at 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732 to get copies of John Goffman's amazing studies at the $60 level or the $130. But I'm going to come back in the second hour, and I am going to interview Sally Fallon, author of Nourishing Traditions, and we're going to talk about her book, which challenges the politically correct nutrition and diet dictocrats. Now, you've heard her before, but we're really going to get roll up our sleeves and talk about some interesting stuff in the second hour and make her book available. We will also continue to make John Goffman's books available, but as it's slowing down right now in these breaks between the interviews, you might want to call now because you have no problem getting through on the phone lines. 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. You're listening to Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Lena Berman. If you missed parts of today's show or want to get a copy of it or need to call me for some other reason, you can always call my information number at 707-773-4727, 707-773-4727, or you can go to the website by going through KPFA website, www.kpfa.org. Follow the links to Your Own Health and Fitness, and you can look at the tape list there. So I'm going to close down this first hour with John Goffman, and I'm going to pick it back up in just less than probably 30 to 60 seconds I'm going to come back and talk to Sally Fallon, author of Nourishing Traditions, about how to prepare food safely and how to make healthful food choices. So don't go away. You're going to have more opportunities to hear more valuable information to protect your health and opportunities to pledge and join KPFA and get copies of wonderful thank you gifts that become resources for you forever and ever, just as KPFA plans on being a resource forever and ever with your help. Don't stop dialing in 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. I'm going to just stop talking for a second so that I can have a glass of water, and then I'll be back at you briefly. Your Own Health and Fitness will be back shortly with the second hour with Sally Fallon. Don't go away.